I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk!
One, two, three!
Three points and job done for Manchester City at Selhurst Park. A nervy start, but a comprehensively solid performance across the 90 minutes. Though a 4-1 lead becoming a 4-2 win in a title race where goal difference could become important was a little bit annoying. We're going to talk through it all right now. This is Let Me Talk. I'm David Mooney. With me is the Athletic City correspondent Sam Lee. Still inside Selhurst Park, Sam?
Still, very much so, yeah. We would have been recording even sooner.
Yeah, the game was finished seconds ago, yeah.
Yeah, but I was watching the City players come off for content. And it didn't really get much. But yeah, here we are. Good game, that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I come at the end of it feeling a little bit frustrated that it finished 4-2, knowing how important like every goal could be in this title race. But actually, when you take a step back and you look at the overall performance, City were really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the point I was making at half-time. And an Arsenal fan took exception to that, but I was like, "What?" But I'd said Palace had obviously a good, well, not a good spell at the start, but a break at the start which led to a goal, and a spell towards the end. In the middle, it's like City are going to win this easily. Like Palace had no counter attacks. It looked like when they did, it was generally City causing themselves problems, but City were probing for chances. They had the big Haaland chance, and it just looked like if this game carries on like this, then it will be easy. But obviously, you could never really at that point rule out the silly mistakes. Not easy, you know what I mean? Again, in the way they started the second half, like Akanji came on, I thought he locked down that side pretty well. I'm sure we'll get into that. But they just did what they had to do. The counter-attacks dried up because you know they weren't giving the ball away sloppily. They were switched on when they did lose it. They used the ball really well. The goals were good goals. It was just a really good overall performance. Like you can kind of add up the sloppiness at the start, the bit of patchiness before half time, and then the annoying ending. And to be honest, not even just that, but like in terms of midweek, how good they were against Villa, and you know they're very good here as well. Still, be careful with the counter attacks and that kind of thing, because if you're playing Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, Arsenal, if Arsenal, you know, don't just want to defend like they did the other week, and I'm not having to go, but you know, that's what happened, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Then that would still be an issue. And I suppose it's even more concerning because it's like, well, they've been playing really well and these things are still happening. But you can focus mainly, I think, on the good stuff. When 70% at least of the game today, because the other day it was more than that, is excellent and exactly what you need to do, then you can take heart from that for sure.
Yeah, there's something that I took heart from in the first half, Sam, and like I know they equalised pretty quickly after the goal went in anyway, but there was almost this sense of, you know, Palace score in 3 minutes, and like at that point, you know, the WhatsApp groups that I'm in, you can see City Twitter or X, whatever, is kind of going, oh, here we go, that sort of thing. And you look at the players and you look at how they reacted to it all. It was just kind of like, okay, well, it's kind of like shit or get off the pot, isn't it? It's like you either do it or you don't, so we better do it.
Yeah, but again, even, you know, if that were what they were thinking, it's knowing how to do it in the right way, because it could have been, and look, you don't really expect this from them anymore, but it could have been, shit, we need a goal, let's stop putting the ball forward, putting balls in behind that shouldn't be played. You know, one player maybe play, you know, maybe if one player's doing the right thing and the other one's being more direct, then they start to look on different wavelengths. You know, maybe Grealish plays a cut ball behind for somebody else who hasn't made the run, or somebody's made the run when he should have stayed on the edge of the box, that kind of thing. But they all stayed on the same page. They all were like, we need to do this. But I've just got that Neil Warnock thing. Do it by being responsible. But they all did it in the right way. It wasn't a frenzied reaction. It was, okay, well, we'll just have to start again. And like, we've made it hard for ourselves, but let's go.
Yeah, you either do it or you don't, and they just did it. And that was what made me a lot more comfortable as the half was going on. And even though they kind of had that iffy patch towards half time, where Rodri for some reason forgot that he was a footballer, and then like found it again in the second half. Like even kind of like playing through that, I was just kind of I wasn't particularly too anxious about it all. And then kind of like you look at the contrasting performances of the first half and the second half, and we talk about kind of the issues that they had at the end of that first half and the iffiness. They came out second half and were just composed, and it was, I mean, dare I say it, kind of more an example of kind of a post Click City.
If that's the thing, isn't it? It's like we're all asking this question. Like, does it need to be asked at all? Like, are they clicking? Are they like what's the standard we're putting them to? You know, I'm trying to think of a comparative game at this stage of the season last year when they've made changes because of a Champions League game. You know, did they breeze through all of them, or did they concede a couple of goals on the counter attack? You know, maybe they did. I mean, obviously we were
Leeds,
praising the fact that they didn't really do that, so maybe not so much.
Leeds, Leicester,
the Leeds game with Gundogan. Score, there we go. Very good comparisons, because obviously that Leicester game was very much Real Madrid on the mind as well, wasn't it? A bit later in the season, but yeah, okay. So there we go as well. Like, we're thinking about this Click, but to what standard? Like, no doubt they had to get better and tighten up at things. And to be fair, I think that has happened, hasn't it? In terms of defensively, the Arsenal game, I think overall against Villa, and again overall here, but yeah. There is still that concern, but is that because, you know, we're holding on to scars from earlier in the season? You know, the Palace game at the Etihad, for example. But then again, you look at it and you go, well, they haven't lost a game since Villa. And that Palace game, as we talked about at the time, I didn't think there was a huge amount to be worried by. But there is obviously still an undercurrent of making the silly mistakes. In terms of Rodri, it was interesting because part of what makes him so good is just think, how's he got that second ball, you know, how's he just won that back? And it's almost just like, if he gets close enough for the ball to be in his orbit, it's gonna be in his orbit.
Yeah,
it's gonna be sucked towards him, and he's just gonna win it. That's just, you know, that's just what happens.
Yeah, just this image of like things orbiting a planet. It, like, as soon as it gets close enough, it just gets sucked in, and like right, that's mine. I can't. Like, yeah, well, there's nothing you can do about that.
But
yeah.
Like. But before like he started just giving the ball away stupidly, there were things I was like, he's not playing badly here. But those things, you know, he's near the ball and he'd normally be getting that. And I don't think it's his own fault, but he hasn't. Like, the bounce has gone the other way. You know, a player's nipped in a bit quicker. Maybe you could say it was him being slower. But early on in the game, I was thinking, it's a bit of a weird performance this, because he's not bad, but those things aren't going his way. And then, as I sent to you on WhatsApp, I was thinking, how would I articulate this on the podcast later? And I thought, well, I don't think he's been bad, but could I imagine him dwelling on the ball in the middle of the pitch, Palace counter-attacking and scoring, and that being it? I was like, I could imagine that. And then obviously that is pretty much what happened for Ayew to hit the bar.
Yeah.
And then you know, that, because the thing is, I do think, maybe this is just like absolute bollocks for me, but I do think everything kind of up until that, In fact, he did get caught on the ball earlier as well, didn't he? Around the halfway line, just after their goal. Before City had like really clicked in and cut that out. But I do think there was a lot of stuff that wasn't going his way, that wasn't really his fault, that then looked worse because of that thing we just mentioned with Ayew hitting the bar. And why was he even trying that back pass to Ortega anyway? Like, you can see where he is. It was as weird as the Caicedo mistake against United the other night. Like, you can see, even if you pass it to that centre back, what is that centre back going to do with the ball? He's facing his own goal anyway, so you're going to have to go back to the keeper. You just do it, and it was like, you know, Mateta's there. Like, he's massive. You can't miss him. He's bigger than you. But unless he's just thinking, well, Ortega can deal with this. Like, you know, we were talking the other night about Rodri being so many steps far ahead. Maybe he goes, well, Ortega can just Cruyff train this and crack on.
No, I don't,
maybe we're giving him a bit too much credit.
Yeah, I don't think it's that much. I think it's very much a case of, like, Rodri is an expert at this, of playing at the way you're facing and keeping control of everything. He's obviously facing his own goal. He's got one pass on to Ortega. I think he plays it a bit short, but I think he's thinking, like, if in doubt, Ortega can put his foot through this and just get us up the pitch. And he played it short, and then Ortega was like, oh shit, I've got to get out and get there to it. Overran it a little bit and was like, okay, well, need to improvise now. And then he kind of comes up with the greatest bit of improvisation. It's one of those things that I love seeing my goalkeeper do after it's worked. In the process of it, kind of like, what the fuck is going on here? But like when it's finished, fine, all right with it.
Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, when like people do a back heel or something like that and they go all the showboating. It's like, I don't think they are showboating. They're just very good at knowing how to use the ball, use their body, and that was the most effective thing to do at that time. And I just think it looks more outlandish because it's a goalkeeper doing it, but it's not just because Ortega's great with his feet. It's just that's the way goalkeepers are heading. And obviously, if you're a goalkeeper at City,
it's not a
requirement that you have to do that, because there's been some who haven't.
But you've got to be able to use your feet.
You've got to be comfortable getting it. So I mean, for me, it didn't look like. Nobody was saying it was showboating, but it didn't seem unusual to me when you consider that, you know, the goalkeepers that City have got can certainly use their feet. You know, Edison in a small space, he's more of a... If Edison were a midfielder, he's more of a De Bruyne, isn't he? You know, more expansive. If Ortega were a midfielder, he'd be a bit more Bernardo or Gundogan, I reckon.
I was thinking Bernardo, and then you said it, and it's just... Yeah, yeah. Just while we're on Ortega, Edison on the bench, was he fit and able to play, or was it one of those, he's coming back, so he gets a place on the bench, but he's probably not going to be needed, so he gets to kind of sit there for a bit?
Well, there was no other keeper, was there? So, you know, Guardiola's not going to think, oh, I'm sure that'll be fine, let's just hope the goalkeeper doesn't get injured, because Eddie's not ready. So, I would take from that that he was okay.
Yeah, because I'm just wondering if it was a case of Ortega, here's your chance sort of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I do just wonder what comes next, you know, against Real Madrid. And look, the answer is probably, oh, it's just Edison playing again. But Ortega has done, well, he's done very well, hasn't he, in the games he's had? Very well. Apart from, you know, a few shaky passes in the first half against Newcastle, which was a long time ago, he's done really well. So that would be an interesting choice, but it might just be the case, well, you know, Edison's number one and that's it. And also, if they know he's off, then
they're not,
less incentive. But maybe they think, well, but maybe it's not so much an incentive, it's just, well, this guy's playing great at this moment in time, let him keep his place. So that is an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Did you see, you were seeing this actually, because I saw you tweet your view from the press box and you couldn't see anything on the pitch really. So God knows how you've seen anything today.
But, I was standing up. Standing up, looking down, moving left and right. It was great fun.
Yeah. But there was a moment where it must have been at 1-1 because it wasn't 1-0 for that long. But Henderson got the ball, put it down for a goal kick, waited a bit, and then a centre-half jogged over as if he was going to take it and then didn't take it, and Henderson was there and the referee blew his whistle and was kind of like waving it on, and TNT Sports went to a close-up of the City bench at that point, and Edison was gesticulating for a yellow card and was like I get books for this, so where's the yellow here. Just found that quite funny.
Yeah, I only saw the end of that replay, but I was like, what are they showing here? But Bernardo was having a go at somebody, like Bernardo was like really like, yeah, go, you know, like fuck off, sit down, that kind of thing. That it was that kind of body language that I was like, what's he kicking off about? But obviously I'd missed the Edison thing before that.
Coming up after a short ad break, we'll talk more about City's performance in the 4-2 win at Selhurst Park. See you then.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
Just back on the overall performance, Sam. It's kind of crept up on me, this, but I was a little bit concerned. Certainly going into the Arsenal game, that City were just not scoring goals as fluidly and easily as they had been previously. And obviously now that's four goals in the last game, four goals against Villa. 8-2, and that's one fewer than in the previous seven. They scored nine in the seven Premier League games before that. And it just kind of feels like things are ramping up a little bit on that front as well. And maybe they're a little less secure at the back because they haven't kept a clean sheet in either of those games. But they controlled Villa throughout, and they controlled Palace throughout, apart from that iffy kind of final stage where
this is the apart from worry, isn't it? But yeah,
but the apart from again comes with the caveat of. Against Palace, they'd made a load of changes. Well, against Palace, they made a load of changes, and Villa had one counter attack.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't forget the Ortega save at 2-1 to City, which was from a counter attack as well.
Oh yeah, okay, two counter attacks.
But I mean, there were a few like worries, but again, it wasn't so much City doing badly because it was so, especially against Villa, they were so good at the second balls. I retweeted. It was only one clip, and it was right at the end of the game, which is kind of instructive. To be fair, they were kept it up right until the end. But yeah, it was just Villa combining really well rather than City having any problems. And today I thought that was the case when Palace had their breaks from, you know, City losing the ball and Palace turning and breaking quickly, like the first goal, for example. I thought that was a case of them doing well, but Jordan Elgott quote tweeted me and said he thought it was City being a bit sluggish with it. I personally didn't see that. What do you reckon to that, actually? You know, I just thought it was... You know, Palace are getting the ball in and using it very well in areas where City just can't get to them, as Villa did the other night. But maybe I was missing something in terms of, you know, City being not lazy, but not as sharp to it as they should be.
Well, I thought for the Palace goal, like right at the start of the game, I thought City were sloppy. I thought very sloppy in how they build it up. It's funny because a lot of the blame for that goal has been put on kind of Stones and the pass that he made and the movement that he made up there. But certainly Ferdinand on the TV was talking about Stones stepping forward towards the ball when he should have dropped. But I looked at it and I just thought, where's Guardiola? Like, why is he pressing the ball in that situation and leaving this big gaping hole behind where Stones was? So I thought it wasn't great from either of them two in that situation. And then
somebody said that about Rico Lewis the other night for the goal, but it was like, well, if you lose the ball, like City weren't as advanced for the Palace goal today as they were for the Villa goal. But it's like, if you lose the ball and you've sent your fullback up the pitch and then you lose the ball before... through no fault of their own, and they can't get back. Is that their fault?
I don't remember the Lewis one.
Yeah. About Lewis. Well, no, exactly. Well, but it was more because for me that was Akanji. Akanji was the right centre back the other night, and he, you know, he just got drawn into the middle, and then that's where the hole was. Yeah, I mean, with Guardiola, I don't know. I think, like I say, they weren't as advanced up the pitch, but I think if he's told to be on the wing in the build up, and they got three centre backs to look after it. Then yeah, it was definitely Stones with a bit of a loose pass. And then also like just didn't really have the pace to deal with it either, with the ball in behind and even like trying to slow him down. But again, for me, it was a lot of good work from Palace. The 1-2-3 passes, you know, go back, find the third man, and then he plays it in behind. Perfect. It's like, that's what I mean. Like, I don't see there a lot of issues beyond City losing the ball in terms of counter pressing or whatever. That's top level. And we keep saying this. There are teams in the Premier League, like, you know, Crystal Palace, you'd use them as an example of like an unfancy team. They can do that. Every team in the Premier League can do that.
Is this an example, though, of what you say about kind of City being set up to lose the ball? In that if they lose it on the edge of the opposition's penalty area, they've got players in positions where they can get it back. But if, like, if Rodri gives it away in the middle...
That Villa example, yeah, but, given we just talked about.
Yeah, but it, like, if Rodri gives it away in the middle when they're building up an attack, then they're not set up to deal with it. And in that instance there, Stones is just playing the Rodri role. He wasn't the last line of defence, but he was kind of a high up centre back with no protection in behind him, gives it away trying to play a forward pass, and then you look at where the City players are, they're not set for it, they're in positions to help them build up and not help them defend a sudden Palace counter attack.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just, you know, that's why Guardiola would kind of throw his arms up in the air and then maybe get down on his knees in the technical area if it was that type of game, like, because you just don't do that there. Like, that's the thing, like, you, the risk you take is, or my team, you know, my defenders are spread out all over the pitch. Like, as long as nothing happens there, and that's not like a stupid oversight, because your players don't lose the ball in that situation. Yeah. They're tied together so that they can kind of make the best of it, but the risk taken is, well, we'll spread these fullbacks out wide, if that's what they're doing today. We'll have players occupying spaces between their midfielders and their defenders, between their centre-backs and their fullbacks. And we will take care of the ball until it gets to there. So it's just a no-no that you lose the ball in those positions. And generally, because, you know, if teams aren't putting huge pressure on you high up, then obviously you have more men. If they are, then you have more men deeper. And it's the only risk then is maybe you beat the press and then you somehow lose it after that. But if you don't play through the press and you've at least got men back there, if it's a situation where you're on the halfway line and you've not even got to the edge of their box yet, they're not putting a huge amount of pressure on you in that position. It was just a poor ball into an area where they were pressing, and that's why you don't, I dare say, you don't make it, because that's the stupid decision. You're only going to get caught out there if you make a big mistake off your own back. You can kind of count on the opposition not putting that kind of pressure on you where you would make that mistake. It has to be a kind of unforced error, and I think that is what happened. And, you know, that's why, you know, the fullbacks get caught out, because they're not supposed to be anywhere near it.
Yeah. Well, let's... I mean, I want to ask you about Guardiola, because I did say to you during the game that I know what you think, and I know that you think he's going to be great, and I am probably wrong on this, because he probably is going to get, like, drilled into him what he needs to do and where he needs to be and Guardiola-fied, and then suddenly we've got this fantastic player on our hands. But I am struggling with him at the moment. I'm struggling with... It's not so much what, like, his potential and what he can do and carrying the ball forward. It just looks a little bit like the decisions he makes on the ball sometimes they feel like quite daft decisions at times. There's a couple of passes where he just belts it straight into the penalty area, kind of towards the penalty spot, and I'm like, well, who's getting that? Where's it going? What are you hoping to achieve by that? A couple of times he carries the ball at the wrong time and kind of carries it into trouble, sort of thing. And then when you look at on a defensive side of things, he'd never really filled me with a lot of confidence that he's going to be strong in the challenge that you need. And then he gets hooked at half time today.
Yeah. Not exactly. I can't disagree with all of that today. I mean, the last couple of games he's had, Arsenal and Villa, he was great, I thought. I'm not the only one with that either. That's not an original opinion. But yeah, I thought he'd been really good. But yeah, today for sure. You know, there was the question, wasn't there? Why is Akanji warming up? Who could be coming off? I think, did they suggest on TV that Stones might be injured? So then I was looking at him and I was, I don't think so. And then about 5 minutes later, when Akanji was still warming up, I was like, maybe Stones is in, like, moving a bit weirdly, but I don't know. I feel like I'm looking for something. And then, like, at half time, when Guardiola just goes off, I think, oh, yeah, okay, like, maybe that was tactical. Or you're not tactical, but you know what I mean, because he's having a bad game. And it was funny because Simon Bukowski was saying on Twitter, like, strange sub to be, because he seemed to be playing well.
Well, it's funny. Like, yeah, funny you say
people
that.
People are not going to like that.
Funny you say that, because I tweeted just before we started recording to say, hey, listen, everyone, we're recording now. Any questions, get them in and we'll do our best. R2 got in touch to say, what do you think the reason was behind that Gvardiol-Akanji change at halftime? Thought Gvardiol was good enough in the first half, but to be fair, Akanji was excellent in the second. Did maybe Gvardiol, almost giving away a penalty at the end of the half, have something to do with the change? And then he's replied to his own tweet saying, never mind, lads, just saw Rico say in an interview that Gvardiol felt a niggle and had to be taken off as a precaution. So that answers that question.
Oh, okay, there we go. Well, what I would genuinely have said was, I didn't think he played well at all, but I wouldn't have said he was bad enough to go off at half time. You know, it's a big step for a manager, but it's a bigger step for Pep, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's not normally
yeah.
making changes at half time. Something has to be very wrong, and you're either the sacrificial lamb because something needs sorting, or you've obviously been shocking. I didn't think he was shocking by any means. There was good stuff he was doing, but you're right. Like, he had iffy moments today, and we had this conversation on WhatsApp, but I was like, yeah, I do like him, and I like some of the stuff he is doing, but after we had that chat after about, I don't know, 20 minutes or whatever, a lot of the things he did kind of would undermine the case for him. Again, in terms of the penalty, I thought I would have been very, very soft if they'd have given that.
If it's obviously, it's like, one, it's a bit of a, yeah, it's one of them for me. If it's given on field,
coming together in the box,
he ain't changing it.
Yeah, maybe. No, they wouldn't have, would they? But no. I don't think it ever would have been given on the field, because
I don't think it's a penalty.
I thought he went down very softly there.
Yeah.
But again, he got booked. He got booked after that. So again, you could see all those things adding up, and you think maybe Pep's taking it off. But again, Lewis has said he had a niggle, so there we go. But again, Akanji came on, looked great, and I don't know what the back line will be for Madrid.
No. James got in touch as well.
If he has got a niggle and can't play, then maybe Lewis comes in. But then if Lewis comes in at the Bernabeu, it's a big old challenge, that. But I don't... You know, if he were to play in the Bernabeu and not play well, I'd be like, well, you know, he is young, and I'm not surprised. But to be fair, at the moment, I wouldn't be dreading it. I thought he's been doing very well.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because James says, with Ake out, Akanji has to be our first choice left back. Problem will be keeping Stones fit to play next to Diaz. And that kind of leads us into the Akanji discussion, because do you remember, it was probably this stage last season, was it, when they played, it was a little bit early, wasn't it? It was Arsenal at the Emirates when he tried Bernardo at left back, and then did Akanji drop into
left back?
And
he played there at Forest.
Yeah. But did Akanji drop into left back during the Arsenal game and then have a few games there in that role? Or was it from the start of... the next game that I can't.
Well, oh, so, he did change it against Arsenal, didn't he? But I don't remember.
I don't remember what he did.
It was in my mind. Maybe Akanji had a trial run at some point. Maybe it was that Arsenal game, but it was after Ake got injured a bit later in the season, because it was established that Walker was out. These are the four that it's going to be. But then Ake got injured and Akanji moved to left back there and did very well. That was Arsenal at home, I think, and that was
roundabout nowish, wasn't it?
Maybe. I guess it would have been, yeah. But then Real Madrid was obviously the semi-final, wasn't it? So yeah, now and a bit later. But again, no issues. And I said the other night, he didn't do very well for the Villa goal at all, but I thought he played really well other than that. I mean, he's been played very well recently. And I say recently, I mean for quite a while now, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if I said it on the last
in
show.
In terms of, you know, the fact he didn't play today was presumably because in Guardiola was out. I wasn't thinking about Real Madrid, I've got to pick the team or whatever. You know, Foden didn't play today. Bernardo didn't play today. Why is that? Because they're playing Real Madrid and they played the other night. Akanji's got to be in the same boat. Like, it just is. It's a fact. You know, Akanji's playing against Real Madrid. That's it. Live with it. And to be fair, fair play to him. He's been excellent for a while.
Yeah. Well, I saw our mate Gaz tweet during the game. Ake and Akanji have run our defence this season. And I find it hard to disagree with that, because, this is very simple. And you could be looking at 2 + 2 = 5. But Akanji comes on at half time. And then the second half, Palace can't get out of their own half. And I don't know what the structural change was that City made to be able to do that, but they kept Palace at bay, and they kept, like, every single time Palace got the ball up until City made it 4-1, it was just coming straight back to City in kind of 10-15 seconds. There was no way out for them whatsoever. And you look at how they built up and how City built up, a lot of it was down the left-hand side with Akanji and Grealish.
Yeah, well, I thought Akanji and Grealish worked together very well. Which is interesting, because I didn't feel like with Gvardiol he had issues finding Grealish, or Grealish finding him, or being in the same positions, or being in the same space as each other, for example. But it just seemed that Akanji and Grealish were very safe, and even in injury time when it was 4-2, Bernardo had that chance to play a through ball to both Nunes and Haaland, didn't he? And it didn't quite. He played it to Haaland, but he was behind him, so yeah. It went back. And then when it went out to Grealish, obviously, this isn't an Akanji discussion now. But when it went out to Grealish, it was, and he just got it. I was like, safe. Ball's in the fridge, or whatever you want to call it. Like that's just safe. But that is the feeling I had for a lot of the game when it was with Akanji. There was moments, probably in the last few minutes, when again it got slightly dicey after 4-2, didn't it? Not hugely, but you just think, like, where 7 minutes come from? All this kind of stuff. But he went. That was it. He went. He kind of allowed the ball to run. He tried to get it to run out for a throw. It was it against Eze. But it didn't quite get there, so he had to make a tackle. But then the tackle kind of led to a loose ball scenario.
Oh,
so then
yeah,
he had to kind of go for a duel again. But then he just carried it into the middle, a bit like, you know, before the first goal at Luton in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
When he just carried it.
He was trying to see it out.
A difficult situation and passed it.
Yeah, he was trying to see it out.
Yeah,
I think,
exactly.
I think
he tried
to
see it out, but didn't get there.
I think it was Eze, and I think Eze kept it in. I think Eze flicked a foot as he was going off the pitch and it stayed
in.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Akanji just.
And that, when you're 4-2 down, and it, whether it's the 89th minute or they've already added on the 7 or whatever, I can't remember exactly when it was. But that, when you're 4-2 down, and the team that's winning are thinking, oh, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and the crowd are with you. If you can do that, and, like, you know, you nick it, and then how often in those situations does it feel like the Akanji, who's tried to see it out, will then fall over and the guy's in? Fucking, that is, like, the last thing. Well, it's the first thing you want from Palace point of view. From a City point of view, would have been awful. But Akanji, having not dealt with it so brilliantly, dealt with it fantastically after that. And again, as soon as he strode into the middle, I was kind of like, it's okay, it's fine.
That's it for the free version of Let Me Talk. There is more for members, though. Go to lmtpod.com if you want to sign up for those longer ad-free episodes. In this one, members are getting discussion about Kevin De Bruyne and clues from the game at Selhurst Park about how City could fit him and Phil Foden in the team together. There's talk about the selection from Real Madrid, along with whether Rico Lewis linking up with Oscar Bob in midfield could help out there, and it could even be an option in the Bernabeu. That is all for members. Find out more on lmtpod.com on how you can join. The free versions of Let Me Talk will be stopping at the end of April, so by becoming a member, that will be the only way you can listen to the show. It's only £2 a month or £20 for the whole year. You get 2 months free with that one. If you're listening to the free version, get over to lmtpod.com for all the information on how to sign up.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.